This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so thank you all for joining. This is 19th of May 2016, and we are here for the IDN Guidelines Working Group call. We have Matt, Swail, Dennis, and myself, Sarmat Hussain, on the call at this. Over to you, Matt, and Swail, and Dennis, how you want to proceed.
I suggest I'm ill prepared, so I suggest Will or Dennis can chair the meeting today.
Sure, happy to. So why don't we start from the very beginning? So last week, I was asked, I had the action item to host a introduction, and this is something that I put forth the group to consider, because I thought the original draft had some details that I'm not sure we were tasked for. And I'm not sure that the guidelines were, the intention of the guidelines were going to meet those criteria. So I kept it fairly generic, looking at previous versions of the introduction. And of course, this is something that at the end of the work, we can revisit and augment. But at this point, if we want to put it for public comment, in my opinion, I think it's a fully genetic, to-the-point introduction. And so I use previous version language just to direct to whom it applies, and just a brief statement on context that we are in this due to the expansion of the DNS after the new utility program, and that's why we are reviewing these guidelines, trying to make a refresh of it.
Right. Dennis, may I make a comment?
Sure.
One quick thing first, that I've made you a presenter and I've synced the screen, so whatever you do with your screen is going to show up on everybody else's screen as well. So you can actually move the document around and point us to where you want to go.
Thank you.
The second is, I think, just to quickly respond, you actually had a query here, which was asking whether this applies to registrars as well. It was noted in the earlier text, I've taken that out, but the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, the 2013 RAA, actually has a specific clause. It's actually mentioned, it's the section, can I zoom in again? Okay, I'll read that anymore. So there's this additional registrar operation specification section, clause 3, which makes an explicit, it makes an explicit reference to IDN guidelines and following IDN guidelines. So these are equally contractually applicable to registrars in that sense, which are signatories to 2013 RAA. Thank you.
Thank you for the precision. You are referring to the RAA, so the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and this is the 2013. So the question would be, registrars in previous versions of the RAA, do they have similar provisions in those contracts?
Right. So I need to find those out. Those which have not signed on to the 2013 RAA, they may or may not have that. That is something I will need to find out, how many registrars are there which are not signatories, and of which, for, you know, how many may not be applicable. But, you know, I'm not sure whether we need to go into that detail. I will at least find out whether there are registrars beyond 2013 RAA which are still bound by the guidelines. At least that information I can bring.
And maybe this is more from a legal angle, because we are saying, right, so let's assume the earlier versions of the RAA are don't have a provision, whereas the 2013 version does have the provision. So it is binding for these new registrars, because there is a direct and explicit language provision that points to these guidelines. Now, I don't know, I'm not legal, and I don't have that expertise, so I think that would be enough for registrars to be binding to these guidelines. I don't think this has to be a bi-directional reference, right? So such that the guidelines also have to direct to the, that the register has to follow. You know what I'm saying? So in short, in CAP, if the RAA has already a provision binding and reference these guidelines, that should be sufficient. But I mean, that's just my opinion, and maybe someone with legal expertise should weigh in. But and in any event, don't the registry policies trump over any of the whatever registers? Because as a registry, we have to validate the registration that is coming in. It's not that we not store or process anything that a registrar sends. So for that reason, I was reluctant to include registrars, because there is no clarity as to earlier versions of the RA contains that binding language, and also because registry policies mandate, right? We are authoritative as to what registration we take and which registration we don't.
Yeah, I don't think you should say for whom these guidelines are binding. We could write some general language that these guidelines may be legally binding if the contract with ICANN says so. Okay. I think that the focus of these guidelines should be the content and the legal binding. That's a thing for the contract that wants to refer to the guidelines.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here, but is there any question or is there any suggestion?
Yeah. So, can you come in?
What I'm hearing is...
My suggestion is that we should not add anything about legal binding in the document.
So, you are okay for now with this language?
What I was actually going to suggest was that I think we should still be, it would be useful to bring more clarity on who are relevant parties. Because if somebody is reading this document and they're not mentioned in the list, they may consider that this document is not relevant for them. So from that perspective, at least, you know, it may be useful to include registrars just for the sake of completeness, because it is relevant, and I think contractually, at least for some of the registrars, this may actually be binding. So just not listing them, they may think that this is just not relevant, or you know, so just from an informational point of view, it may still be useful to have all the stakeholders kind of listed in the introduction of that position. Thank you.
I agree. I mean, it could say something that the guidelines are written for, I think, TLD registries and TLD registrars. The guidelines are as valid for these TLDs as for GTLDs. The difference is that the GTLDs in some or all cases are bound by the contract to follow it, whereas the CCTLDs are not. But the guidelines are still valid for the CCTLDs.
That's true. That's why it says, I mean, in a soft way, that any registries, and such as CCTLDs, should use these guidelines as a support for their IDN implementation. So I'm okay. I mean, going back to the whether registrar should be mentioned here specifically, and given the fact that there is a provision in the 2013 RAA binding registrars to follow the IDN guidelines, that I would be okay to say, for example, and Pharma, can I edit on the fly here? Or just read only?
No, this is unfortunately just PDF, so that will not work. If you can type in the chat, I can capture that and share that later.
There you go. So we are reading for GTLD registries, and we have to make it clear. So 2013.
I don't agree with you, because I don't think that we have to refer to this contract. I mean, we are not writing this as a part of a contract.
That's true. The guidelines alone are not a contract. I agree with
that. And therefore, it's enough to say that the guidelines are written for GTLD registries, registrars, and CCTLD registries. And they can also be useful for lower level registries, so to say. Because it contains useful information, even if you are further down in the chain.
Please do note that not all GTLDs are bound by these guidelines, because some of these GTLDs have older contracts, very few. So it's the same case for GTLDs as it is for the registrars.
Right. So it's better to have a general, for whom is it written? And then the question is, are we bound by this guideline? Well, go and look in the contract.
Yes, that's a good
question. This is not for the guidelines to do, because that could change. I could could write change the contract with some T and B, so it's included. Maybe have a contract with a single T and B that says that they are bound by the guidelines, and we shouldn't have to update the guidelines just because some contract is updated. So the guidelines should not specify or make a distinction between different contracts. You should just think of who has the need of reading these guidelines. Well, primarily registries of TLDs, but also registrars handling TLDs should definitely read the guidelines. And then others interested could all find useful information here. But the primary goal are the TLDs. These are not guidelines for the root zone. These are guidelines for the TLDs. And since the registrars handles registrations under the TLDs, they also are in focus of this document.
So what I'm hearing, we are fine. Matt, you are fine with the current draft.
Well, it doesn't. I think it's that Hermat has a valid point that the registrar should be mentioned here, because they are important actor in the TLD registration. Or the sub TLD registration.
I don't have
it. I don't think that we need to make a distinction between GTLDs and CTLDs, because both of them can have a use of this document. Most GTLDs are bound by it, but that doesn't change the content as such.
Do we have CCTLD members in the working group? Oh yeah, Matt. So yeah, you. So
we are not bound.
Yes.
SE is not bound by any contract with ICANN. There's no contract between
Correct.
ICANN and IIS.
But so, and let me voice this over, right? So we are, and I'm balancing all the comments here, so hear me out. So the text would read something like, okay, there you go. So it will read something like this. The IDN guidelines are written for GTLD registries and registrars.
Well,
they are
written for CCTLDs too, or CCTLD registrars too, or registries and registrars.
So maybe this is something that I assume because I found it in earlier versions. Since CCs don't have a contract with ICANN, and the saying or stating the IDN guidelines are written for GTLDs, CCTLDs, and registrars, would that be a strong language for CCTLDs to, because this is going to go to public comment, right, Matt? And
yeah.
CCTLDs will see this, oh, you're saying this is for me? How would constituency take it?
Well, I mean, these are guidelines.
I know, but...
Yeah, and guidelines means this is the way you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not binding for the CCTLDs. And they will look at it and say, yeah, it says this, but we do it differently. Or they say, Yeah, this is a good suggestion. We'll follow it. I'm sure that a CCTLD that wants to introduce IDN or maybe expand IDN will look at these guidelines and use it if they know that they are there. And by writing that they're intended for the CCTLD too, increases the chance that they're reading it.
Mm-hmm. So what about we don't make any distinction, genetic versus CCs, and we say the IDN guidelines are written for top-level domain names, registries, and registrars. However, guidelines are also intended as a support document for other registry establishing IDN policies. Right, so let's remove the G from TLD, from GTLD, so it's genetic, right? And it covers all top-level domains, registries, and registrars.
I think that is good.
Okay, so Salma, can you help us make that edit?
Sure. So if you can sort of just read it out, I'll capture that in the minutes.
You want me to write it out?
No, you can just read it out. It's being recorded, so I can just capture it.
So after the new UTLD program period, the IDN guidelines are waiting for TLD registries and registrars. And the rest remains the same. And remove the last EG CCTLDs so that.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. So it's for all top level domain names, registries, and registrars, and any other registry that wants to establish IDN policies, right? Because we're talking about private registries or registries that the at the second level or third level domain names, and I should say third level domain names, etc.
So I put it in the chat box, see if this works.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess we could move on then.
Yep. I think there is no question on the second paragraph. It's basically a boilerplate language from other versions. Let's say this document supersedes the version of the guidelines and prepared by the working members. And there is a list of all of us. Right? Agree, and we move. If you have no objection, okay. Let's move on to the guidelines itself. Okay, so Section 2 IDN guidelines, Section 2.1 transition. The current recommendation number 1. It referenced the previous version of the IDN guidelines, and the proposal is to remove such reference since we are years away from that. So the current, the suggested revision is the top level domain name registry supporting internationalized domain names will do so in strict compliance with the requirements of the IETF protocol for international domain names and application as defined in the set of RFCs. My comment on this recommendation on removing IDNA 2003, and maybe this is something that is covered in the below recommendations, but I'm thinking about existing domain names that are not IDNA 2008 compliant. Right, we are talking about domain names that were registered before the protocol even existed. And when we say we have to support this register, I guess my question is, what is the scope of this recommendation? Is it for new registrations or also existing? And that's where I'm kind of.
This is Thomas. I would want to refer to the earlier recommendation. I'm just going to scroll down a bit and refer to recommendation 7, where basically the earlier one, version 3.0, had this recommendation which said that these should be transitioned and the transitional plan should be published. And eventually these should be phased out. This is part of it is given at the end of recommendation 2, this last paragraph at the top of this page, which is the registrar of a domain that is no longer supported by IDNA 2008 should be notified that there may be unanticipated consequences for a user attempting to reach it, such as names should be replaced, held or deleted at a registry initiative. So there was some so the registrations based on previous code points were asked to be stopped based on IDNA 2003, and then there was also a transitional plan which was suggested to be posted, which will bring everything to IDNA, make everything IDNA 2008 compliant. And this was in 2011. I'm not really sure whether, it's been 5 years since then. It's up to the working group to decide whether 5 years are sufficient for such transitional plans to have been executed and everybody moved to 2008. Or is there more provision we want to keep in the current guidelines for IDNA 2003 transition to IDNA 2008? Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. My first reaction is that we should keep any of the language that allow existing registration to renew until the registrar of that domain name chooses not to renew it, and of course, because the IDNA 2008 rules are in place, that domain name will not be able to re-register, and that would be fine. But as far as existing domain name registration, my opinion that we should allow the registrar to continue to renew if they chooses to do so.
The first question there from you was if we should focus on or talk about new registrations or old registrations, and we should focus on what's happening with new registration. We allow the new registration, and then we should talk about the transition or what to do with old red patients. The introduction there that referred to the IDNA 2003, I don't think it should be there. I don't think the RFC references should be there. We should talk about that the only reasonable version is 2008. That is what you should use. Then there's a hard question of current registrations that do not conform to 2008, but have conformed to 2003, or does conform to 2003. And the question of how long we should accept those registrations. I'm not sure that we should accept those forever. I'm not sure if that is a good idea. This will be a burden in the long run.
So, Max, if I may?
Yes.
So there are two things, right? One is the registrant. So you have a customer that is happy with his or her domain name, and they are willing to renew it. So the question is, will you stop that? And maybe there is a reason, a valid reason for them to renew the domain name, because it's working. As you know, browsers still support IDNA 2003. And that's maybe, I am assuming that's one of the major reasons registrants are still using those domain names, even though they do not conform with the current protocols, etc. But they are working, registrants are choosing to renew those domain names, and do we have a say here whether they are allowed to renew that domain name or not? I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of the consequences of keeping those. I guess it's probably hard to find any consequences besides the domain name holder, and that would be in favor of allowing such a domain name to exist as long as it's renewed by the original registrant. I do think, however, that we should be strong about new registrations. They should only be allowed if they are compliant with IDNA 2008.
This is Sharma. I'd also like to mention that I think whatever we propose should probably be equal or tighter than recommendation 7, but probably not looser than the earlier recommendation which was made in version 3.2.
And the earlier recommendation was to have a transition period. So then we should probably say that all TLDs with registrations not compliant with 2008 should have a transition plan for those domain names. That is.
Okay. So I think the previous version of the guidelines addressed the IDN 2003 and previous version of IDN protocols in recommendations 2 and 7. So I think it's a combination of those two that we need to look at and preserve in order to again, right, provide an acceptable experience to our restaurants. And specifically, in recommendation 2, second sentence says the restaurant of a domain name that is no longer supported by IDNA 2008 should be notified that there may be anticipated consequences for a user attempting to reach it, and such a name should be replaced or deleted. So we still continue to support them and just find a way to alert them that these, the domain names they have may not work in the future, but it's up to them to do that. But if we should be very careful to take action if the customer is not, you know, it's still using.
So what you say is that this text is not looser than the previous text. Is that what you say?
I'm saying this is fine and we should keep them. And I know Chris suggested a edit for recommendation 2, but I think he's going in a different direction that recommendation 2 was intended to go. So maybe it's recommendation altogether. But my take is that recommendation 2 should remain as well as a 7, right? I think they work in tandem.
But there is a recommendation for revision of recommendation 2.
Mm-hmm. Because recommendation 2 specifically pinpoints the issues with domain names that were allowed in 2003 and not allowed in 2008. So specifically to those domain names. Recommendation 7 is widening the scope as it makes points it transition from the previous guidelines to the new one, right? And there may be other items that you need to address in order to move from the recommendation from the earlier version of the guidelines to this one. So I think they work together, but one focuses on domain names, allow versus disallow, whereas the other one is transition from one guideline to one version of the guideline to another.
So there are a couple of possible ways of doing this. One is to update recommendation 2 and then update recommendation 7, or whichever way, however we want to. And the other second option is to merge 2 and 7 from the previous version into a new recommendation which addresses both these aspects. I don't have a particular, not suggesting a particular preference, but just raising that to see whether it will be useful to capture the transitional matters in a single recommendation which can potentially combine 2 and 7. Would that be a good way of doing it?
Sam, I don't agree to merge. Because that would make it very long recommendation, and maybe there is no harm to keep it separate, right?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think better even a short to the point recommendation is better than one big one and maybe create
I guess then a follow-up is that do we want to keep the same language or do we want to update the language for each of those recommendations?
I mean, for now, I cannot think of a better language or edits, but I'll take a look and revisit that for the next meeting. What I want to say is that Chris suggest a revision, let's put it in a different category or maybe a new recommendation because it's it's not addressing what recommendation intended to. It is
right.
A different set of recommendations.
Right. Just pointing to recommendation 8, do we still need that, or is the suggested revision by Edmund cover this and we can take this out?
Take number 8 out?
Yeah.
So would this be written somewhere else, or?
It should be part of RDNA 2008, right, which is now being presented the previous, so we are adding this recommendation. If you see the suggested revision for recommendation number 1, it very clearly says that we have to comply with RFC 58, 90, 91, 92, 93, and 94. I can go and double check, but I think this recommendation number 8 may actually cover that.
In a way, it does.
Sorry, I mean, recommendation 8 may be covered by that previous statement. Well, except that they are talking about transitional matters again in it.
So to that point, Sarmat,
yeah.
I don't know the details of the RFC, whether they say that's policy, right? The RFC would say these domain names need to be represented using the ACE prefix as dash, but I don't think it says you cannot register any other domain name with a I think it's a third four.
It does. No, it does. It does say that. Yes, it does.
But I think what it does not cover and what is in this recommendation is this transitional matter, which is what we were just discussing, that there may be actually some names which may have been registered with two hyphens in third and fourth position before IDNA. You know, this whole standard was stipulated, and it has some comments about those domain names, perhaps.
In RFC 5891, in section 4.2.3.1, it's that you may not have dash in the third and fourth position.
So do we override the transitional cases or we keep the transitional cases?
Well, if we should allow for some transitional cases, then we should keep the text. So then we should keep it as this. I mean, in the same way as there are domain names not complying with IDNA 2008, but with IDNA 2003, there are also domain names, quite few, I guess, that have hyphen in position 3 and 4.
Matt, so it says the Unicode is string, not the ASCII string.
Okay.
There.
It also says, let me find that one. I thought that that was the text for the ASCII string.
Mm-hmm.
I find that. I send it to a Lisp. It's there.
Okay.
I know it's there because I've checked it out for PDT testing.
Yeah. That, so yeah, let's before we remove something, let's make sure it's covered somewhere else.
But I don't think we should
right,
remove it anyway, because then we cannot support the transition, I mean, the cases that are there already.
Right. So what I'm hearing is that we're keeping recommendation 8 as it is.
Yes, I think that's my opinion.
Okay, so what's next?
So I guess just to one thing which we could look at is what Chris Dillon proposed as a separate recommendation. That's what is currently listed, unless you want to talk about the Appendix A of previous guidelines, which do a comparison between IDNA 2003 and 8, and Appendix B, which lists some additional transitional issues. These are not listed here. Maybe you know, we can come back to it. So these are a couple of items I guess we could look at. We are also coming to the end of the hour, few minutes to go.
Sorry, Sarma, I lost you for 2 seconds. Was there a question?
No. So I was saying you were asking what could we look at. I was just noting that there is a recommendation by Chris, and then there is also the extra appendices, whether we want to discuss, whether we want to keep them or not. But they're not really listed here, so perhaps we can come back to those. There's also, you know, and in any case, those are a couple of things we can look at. In the
okay. So yeah, since we are going in order, so we next in line would be. So I think we are agreeing at this point. Recommendation 2, we have to keep it to. For those existing customers, for those existing domain names. And now let's move on to Chris' suggestion for, and I say again, it doesn't look like a suggest revision for recommendation 2, but something new. Does anyone want to go and share their reactions before I do?
Can you say that again, please?
Yeah. Do you want to share your reactions to Chris's suggested new recommendation? or no reactions? Okay, so let me go first. And reading into this recommendation, I'm a bit confused by the fact he is referencing the root zone and incorporating exceptions to p-valid coupons per IDNA 2008, but that registry somehow would need to disallow. So my reaction is that I don't like it. I think it would have been great to have Chris to elaborate on this one. So I'm fine keeping this until Chris speaks to it and come back, because I don't understand it. Cool.
No, I don't understand either why it's referring to the root zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on then.
It's 2:00.
Oh yeah.
I have another meeting scheduled.
No, and we are at the top of the hour, so we should pause here and just make the edits and comments send back to the group so that they are keep abreast of what we've done today, and let's regroup the following meeting. And the first action item would be to review Chris's recommendation.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll add the recommendations 2, 7, and 8 from the previous version as new recommendations in the current version. So we're just going to carry those on. So I'll remove reference previous ones and add them as recommendations in the current version, and just update that document and circulate it. And I'll also circulate the summary of this meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Great. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.